This program is available on this quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audio Boo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be in the world. It's a warm welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad, with yours truly, Eric Wiltshire, being a noisy so-and-so as usual. In the glorious sunshine of 24 degrees, it's wonderful and hot. It's beautiful. At the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains is where we are, as always. And we've got a special guest for you in a moment, but I'm not telling you it is yet. But it's let's give you a clue. Live is the clue. Before we start, as always, we're going to go hurtling off not to England because we're just not. Well, I spoke to the border police; they're not letting him back. He's in Spain. It's Lee G. Banks.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else who's listening. May I just say that I've hopped into the studio.
You hopped. Very good. Oh, dear, they get worse. I wish they got better, but they don't. How are we this week, Uncle Lee?
We're very well. If you just excuse me, I'm just going to kill an ant. Got it. So, yes, doing very well, thank you. Everything's wonderful. We're in the dark old hills of Valencia, as a certain Australian gentleman seems to pronounce it.
Have you learnt any Spanish yet?
Maracas. Mojito. Mojito.
No, that's Slovak.
What, is mojito?
Yeah.
It's vodka with mint in it.
I know, I get the mint out of the balcony garden.
Of your balcony garden?
Yes, we've got a balcony garden in there. Excuse me, if you'd have been here the other day, I would have given you freshly made peppermint mint sauce.
Peppermints, I like peppermints.
It's lovely.
Paella mint sauce.
I'm sorry, Spain. I humbly, I'm going to go and see the ambassador for Slovakia for Spain.
Yeah, because you are a parking warden for Slovakia, aren't you?
Thank you very much. Ensconced in the love of her, love land of her life. You try saying that when you haven't rehearsed it. It's Rachel Brunston.
Hello. It's 10 o'clock at night. I've been moving boxes all day. I've been unpacking boxes all day. But you know what? I'm deliriously happy because I am in Melbourne and Melbourne is glorious.
And you've been out for a coffee.
I've been out. I've been walking. I went into a pub today, which I never do. And I went into a pub and had a lovely meal and I had some old friends drop by that I hadn't seen for years.
I've noticed you've been hobnobbing with the crew on Facebook.
I have.
Hobnobs.
It's great because I didn't realise, you know what, I didn't realise about myself?
What?
That I have actual friends, real life friends.
What, ones and, away from Facebook?
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't
know.
I had no idea. Well, I've been away from them for a long time and now I'm back in Melbourne. I've managed to connect with actual people rather than talk to people on the computer.
No, actually, do you know what, Rach? Very true story.
Here we go.
A few years ago, I went to BBC Radio Oxford.
As you do.
As the invited technical guest. And I met Tony, who I'd been talking to for over 20 years via ISDN networks. I'd never, ever met Tony. And it was the first time when I went to BBC Oxford. Never seen the man before. And I don't understand why people get all cross about Facebook. Because us broadcast types, you know, tend to never meet anybody that you consider to be a friend.
Well, I've never met you or Uncle Lee, and I probably never will.
You might do.
I'll go
to Australia again next year.
We might.
That's true.
I might come in his suitcase.
May I explain to our secret guest that actually, now Eric started telling stories, you probably won't get any airtime at all.
No. In fact, we won't get to any of the stories on the run sheet, so don't even worry about reading it.
Right, fine, thank you. In which case, we'll start. And I'm so sad to start with this one because it's the lovely Joan Rivers. I like Joan Rivers.
I've been watching the E Channel this afternoon because although my internet. Although I've been doing, my internet's not connected, my Foxtel is, my cable is, which is just as well because that is the window to my soul. And an hour after she passed away, they're doing a broadcast. And now she's been a part of that network since its inception. So these people, these anchors, and one of them was relaying a story and reading a statement and could not keep it together and had to leave. Oh. And several of them did during this. And I thought, these poor people having to do this like an hour after they get the news that she's passed away. But do you know what? I loved her. She was a trailblazer for women like myself who are trying to be funny in this world. Mm. And she said,
are you trying to be really funny?
Well, generally, it's quite often it goes over.
It was
your
a
head.
Genuine question.
it goes over your head, Uncle Lee. She was
like Joan's top lip.
For every nasty comment that she made about somebody, she made two about herself, which is why I liked her so much. She said what everybody was thinking, and she had this great quote, which I plucked out today to say to you guys. Yesterday's history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift from God, which is why it is called the present.
That's lovely.
Isn't it?
Isn't that nice?
What I think was really sad about it, though, is the way that the world on Twitter and Facebook turned against her and lambasted her for everything. It was that there was so much hatred came out yesterday.
Not on my profile, there wasn't.
Well, no, I'm looking generally. 36,000 comments were made on Twitter within half an hour about Joan. It's terrible. Absolutely
terrible.
She's
got the last laugh, you know. She's already made her funeral arrangements. She said she wants a massive scene. She wants Meryl Streep to cry in five different accents. even in her casket, she wants somebody to sit her up so that a wind machine can blow on her so she looks like Beyonce. The woman was absolutely mad as a hatter.
Brilliant.
My favourite joke by her was, I've had so much plastic surgery, when I die, I'm going to donate my body to Tupperware.
Lovely.
Brilliant. It was great. Although she was 81 years old, most of her body parts are only 12.
Yes.
She was fantastic. And it really, you know, the fact that she went in for a routine procedure and it went horribly wrong, I think, is really shocking. I was only just starting to sort of get over Rob Williams. Mm. But those two are up in wherever that place is. Cracking skulls and taking names tonight.
Absolutely.
I guarantee it.
And I'll tell you what, the other thing with Joan is that she was one of the past masters of recreating herself. Later life, when she got into the jewellery and the fashion and everything else, and then became a star across both sides of the planet on the shopping network QVC. She was just brilliant at it. Absolutely.
And you know what? She was a trailblazer too. She was the first person to ask on the red carpet, who are you wearing to anybody? Mm. And you know what? What is even more sort of bittersweet and ironic is that this is Fashion Week in New York. This is her Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, and she passed away. Fashion Police, I don't think, will continue. I don't think it can.
No.
Without her at the helm.
I think the comparison you made between her and Robbie Williams, though, I think it's something you should say about that, and that is that one of them was actually funny.
Oh, stop it.
That's
what?
Terrible.
That's
What's
terrible.
That? What,
You're
Williams?
Horrible.
That's an awful thing
I'm
to
just,
say.
I'm going to fade him down. I'm going to mute him.
Go on then, fade me down. I don't care.
I'm going to mute you.
Rachel. That's hurtful.
Rachel, there's a story about a director. Would you like to talk about it now?
What's going to stop her?
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose I will. It's not my favourite of genres. I mean, no. I got in trouble from a gentleman in Ireland about this, but, you know, I'm always getting in trouble with the Irish, so there you go. This director, Andrew V. McClegg-Legg-Legg-Legg-Legg-Legg.
Yep.
It was best known for westerns and action films, including The Wild Geese and McClintock. He died at age 94. Now, with all due respect to him, I'd never heard of him.
John Wayne's own sort of in his own pocket director. He made films like The Undefeated, Chisholm, Cahill, Hellfighters. He was a brilliant director. He went
you know
into
the
genre of cowboy films and westerns.
The comparison between him and the comparison between him and John Wayne is that one of them was actually good.
Yes. And can we carry on the vein of my little Slovak language course for Lee?
Please.
Yes. There's a beautiful word which is nerozumie. Don't understand.
Well, don't you understand me? I can explain.
The undefeated Chisholm, Cahill, U.S. Marshal, Hellfighters, nerozumie. Yeah.
What? Why don't you understand? They're some of the best westerns ever made. You don't recognise John Wayne. You have no idea who John Wayne is.
I know who Shirley is.
He was in those films.
He taught hookers how to walk. He was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. We move on. Because the bass guitarist from Jethro Tull's died, age 67, which is a bit of a shame. Glenn Cornick. Really weird band, Jethro Tull.
Why?
Very weird.
Why?
Because they were kind of like...
Why can you be rude about Jethro Tull and I can't be rude about Robbie I'm Not Very Funny Williams?
Hey, settle in.
Stop it. They were formed in 1967 and kind of stayed there forever.
Well, they didn't, did they, really? Yes.
They were the Darwin of music.
Yes.
They were one of the most inventive rock bands ever. They were steeped in traditional blues and
I've just
folk.
Choked on me coffee.
Well, they did. They were basically a folk band, and they jumped on the band on the back of His Royal Bobness's newfound folk and rock, they started to make music, which was quite incredible. And Glenn Cornick was actually the man who. What are you doing,
I don't know.
What are you doing?
It's not me.
Who is it then?
It's
not somebody. It's somebody eating a carrot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's somebody eating a carrot. Yes. Yes. We'll get there in a minute. Anyway, apart from the little entry in the prog rock scene, there's not a lot to say about Jethro Tull. But anyway, it's sad to see that one of the old rockers has gone. And talking of rockers, Survivor.
He wasn't a rocker. You can't call him a rocker. He was a middle of the... He was a Daniel O'Donnell of rock music.
Excuse me? Eye of the Tiger
Tiger. How can you call that rock music?
Lee's had too much sun and one too many mojitos.
Nothing so.
Clearly, he's off his game this week. He's got it all wrong and backwards and upside down. Yes, you are.
The theme tune to Rocky 3 and Rocky 4.
It's an anthemic tune that everybody knows.
It's an anthem.
Anthem. So's God Save the Queen.
Yes.
You couldn't say that was a rock song except when
Brian May did it.
Brian May's an idiot as well. How can he be classed as a rock god?
Oh.
He looks like grandmother.
The best two versions of the national anthems ever were Jimi Hendrix doing the Star Spangled Banner.
Star Spangled Banner, yes.
Yeah. And in the same vein, Brian May doing... God Save the Queen.
No, it wasn't. No,
yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Sex Pistols doing God Save the Queen.
Actually, the Sex Pistols doing was pretty cool.
Oh, it was indeed. Anyway,
that was based on William Burroughs' lyrics. See?
All right, then. Anyway.
I rest my case.
Well, you just sit down and rest, dear boy. I think Rachel's right. You've had too much of the sun. We go on to our celebrity guest of the week.
Yes.
The man that eats carrots.
In the background, when he should be quiet.
Yes. The man that was putting off beautiful young ladies on the television not so long ago. And I'm not sure what else he was doing at the time. It's the legendary. He's got his own wiki page. Seriously, got his own wiki page, boys and girls. It is the news bunny from Life TV, known as Tom. Hello!
I just want to make certain nobody in the studio or studios has myxomatosis, do they?
No. Well, Lee mix up his toasted sandwiches and has myxomatosis, but that's a whole other issue.
That is the best. Very
okay,
old.
Good. Because my nose is twitching, you know it.
And your ears.
And your ears.
Ears.
Yeah, don't forget your ears. How's your little white bunny tail?
it's big. It's very big.
And what else is floppy?
My stomach.
Your stomach. News Bunny, a.k.a. Tom, is joining us because we're going to make an announcement in a little bit. But before that, I've got to ask you, Tom, because so many people... There was quite a lot of chatter about you yesterday on Facebook when we announced you were joining us. And I think it could be summarised into one sentence. What was it like being the News Bunny on live TV?
It was a job, and it was fun. I mean, basically, it was a huge newsroom, and you just kept the bunny outfit in the bottom right-hand drawer.
Right.
And about 3 minutes before the time for broadcast, I simply turned around, put on the News Bunny outfit, you know, just the shoulders and the head and so forth, because, you know, my feet were still sticking out in humid form, and turned around and started reading the news off the auto cue. and behind me, you'd see the newsroom. At the far end was a glass cage in which Kelvin McKenzie stomped back and forth, shouting into a telephone.
Right. And would you, for those that are obviously around the world, are going, what the devil's he talking about?
Well, you know what I'm thinking? Because that's me. Put me there.
Yes.
I'm thinking, this is like Alice in Wonderland meets the news, meets, you know, mushrooms, meets Eat Me, like, you know?
It was proper
a very
news.
Strange thing.
You know, and we had topless weather girls as well.
And darts players, yes.
And topless darts, topless weather.
What about the bouncing weatherman?
He was juggling the whole lot.
He was about a metre tall, wasn't he, Tom? And he bounced up and down on a trampoline trying to get to the weather numbers on the screen before he fell off.
Oh, I remember him now, of course.
but the weather was still reported.
Yes.
Absolutely. The basic principle behind the News Bunny was just an aberration of Kelvin McKenzie's tabloid mentality, wasn't it?
Of course.
But it was
to make news
amazing.
Interesting.
Right, for, if you're still confused, boys and girls, a few years, well, 20 years ago, 20 years ago, there was a channel in London called Live TV. And it didn't do very well to begin with until Kelvin got hold of it, Kelvin McKenzie. And it's just to summarise it, he kind of spiced it up a bit. And it went from being TV One viewer to cult status almost overnight. Didn't actually sell a lot, but it went to cult status. And it was on a cable network, which was originally just around London, the old wire cable networks. But people were watching it and sending tapes of it, recording the news, sending it to their mates. It was bizarre.
You know, today it would probably be a great hit. It would probably be an internet sensation.
Yes.
I think it'd be banned today if it got on television. But it was a bit outrageous, wasn't it? Because there you had somebody quite serious, as Tom says, reading the news in a proper fashion and perfectly respectable way, and behind them you had a big pink bunny. And if the news was serious, then the bunny would look quite serious. If the news was sad, it would start crying and hang its head and wipe away the tears. If the news was funny, it would laugh hilariously in the background. Well, that was wonderful until you started talking about 500 children that had died in a rail crash.
No, that's not so good.
I was going to say, it's like, war's broken out.
And the bunny would go, ho, 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 ho. But stand there eating a carrot.
But Tom, I tell you what, it was funny. Whenever it got to the entertainment news, got to the entertainment news, you'd always put your thumb up, Tom. Did you like that then?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great story. Thumbs up.
Four thumbs up for the stories. Now, listen, Tom, you've got a penchant, and we took an executive decision that the News Bunny cannot sit around in his hutch doing nothing, being lazy, and not contributing to the world. And so, therefore, we've decided that the News Bunny should come back on radio and do some news. Now, what sort of news are you going to do, Mr. Bunny?
Ah, well, you see, I'm a great believer in getting people off their back haunches, you know, off the sofa. And so I'm going to do something called Look Ahead.
Right.
And the idea is to every week broadcast what will be happening next week around the world.
Mm. You got crystal balls as well.
Well, scheduled. It's all scheduled stuff. No crystal ball gazing. You know, no. I'll say something, you know, like, you know, so-and-so is going to be going on a tour of Australia, or the British Prime Minister is off to Russia to have a punch-up with Putin in the Kremlin
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Yeah. It's all scheduled events. But the idea is, you know, I want people to get out there and participate in the world around them. And to do that, they need the tool of advanced knowledge. And so I want to give them that tool.
Blimey.
That sounds really interesting. Are you going to wear your bunny's head?
It doesn't work so well on radio.
On the radio?
Yeah, you know, I could just to get in the mood, but maybe a tail.
Maybe a tail.
A tale of two, yes.
Yeah, or a tale,
yeah. A tale to tell the tale,
right.
He's a method news guy.
So, Tom, you're going to be joining us every week on here, and we'll tell everybody else so you can get in touch with them as well. And rather than throwing adverts at people, we'll have some forward news.
Yes.
Oh, heck.
Absolutely.
I'm all for this plan.
Oh, heck.
What?
Does that mean the program's going to be serious?
Oh,
you're very ridiculous.
It is a serious program. Don't be so rude about it.
Sure,
you
is.
Can tell how serious a person I am.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you think about it, the News Bunny was created by, as we said, that wonderful Kelvin McKenzie, the man who came up with the headline "Freddy Starr ate my hamster," and I thought this was probably one of the best headlines ever, which was when we went to war on the Falklands. And he came up with the headline, "Up your junta."
Gotcha.
So I think that...
No, gotcha. Remember, gotcha.
No, that was after. That's when we blew up the Belgrano.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original one we went to war was that, yeah. And so that is where the News Bunny comes from.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Very serious.
Maybe I should do the programme topless.
Yes!
You know,
yes!
it's a trendy thing to do. I don't do it myself because I'm a bit modest. And now I'm in Melbourne. It's a bit too chilly, to be quite frank with you.
Yes.
But Eric's topless all the time.
Yeah,
I'm topless. I am genuinely topless. I am.
You've just got you've got your bright yellow Speedo on. I know you have.
I haven't got any Speedos on at all. I am completely topless and bottomless. I actually don't exist anymore.
I think that's too much information.
Too much
information.
Yeah, I agree.
go and chomp on your carrot.
So anyway, the bunny will be here every week.
Yes.
And actually, just to epitomise and upset every girl on the planet, one of my meetings with Kelvin McKenzie was in his boardroom office in the middle of London. And he said to me, "Have you got all the numbers done, lads?" So I said, "Yes, Kelvin." He said, "Bloody marvellous. The desk is a bit of a mess." And he got every daily newspaper open somewhere where he'd been pouring through it. And he just bellowed at his young lady PA and said to her, I can't remember her name, "Will you come and clear this office up?" Which she sort of looked as if to say, "Well, there's nothing to clear up." At which point he swept his arm from left to right. Every newspaper fell on the floor. And then he bellowed at her again, "Well, come on, hurry up!" And then we got on with the meeting.
Wow.
That was Kelvin.
He was a bit of a bellower.
Yeah, he really was. He was a bit of a bully, but he was a bully that turned out fantastic news products that sold.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah,
and whether you like it or not, you know, we everyone says, "Oh, you should be educating the public." You've got to educate the public in such a way that you make money. Otherwise, you lose all... You can't continue.
Well, you can't
There's
continue.
No public to educate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We move on because we're now going to educate. And Tom, are you going to stay with us?
I'm with you.
Good.
I'm with you to the bitter end.
My gosh. Thank God
I used to drink.
Unless you want me to hang up.
No, Rach.
Yeah.
Don't let him hear. But we've got a sensible commentator this week.
Are we?
Who?
I don't know. Ooh. I don't know quite what to do with that information.
It's rather a scary.
What it means.
He's still talking in the background. Don't just ignore him. Anyway, it's time to educate a young lady in Calais. Natasha Bouchard, the mayoress of Calais, has come up with a great scheme. She reckons that all the illegal immigrants in Calais is the responsibility of Italy, Spain, and the UK.
It is well to do with England, yes.
And the Italians and the Italians and the Spanish and the British all think it's responsibility of the French.
Well, that's a good thing, because they're in France, for goodness sake. And I don't understand why Natasha Bouchard got her bloke to talk on Sky News last night and go, well, it's your problem. You make it so good for them in England. They all want to come through France. It's the only way they can get... Hello?
Hello?
Have I missed something? They are in France. It's your border control. And you ain't doing nothing.
I think you're right. But I do think you have to be fairly nice to Mrs. Bouchard.
Why?
Because... Well, there is a point that the UK is seen by most of Europe and by many parts of the world as the El Dorado of Europe. Mm. That this is the place where if you come here, that the streets are lined with gold, that there are jobs galore for you, and if you don't want to work, the benefits system will look after you. Mm. This is the impression that the world is given by Britain. But look at it this way. Just think about how many people who are actually abandoning Britain now, like me.
They're all in Western Australia. They all live in Perth, for goodness sake.
Yes,
exactly. And that's because
I'm the only one here.
Turn the lights out, Tom, when you leave.
No, look. Interjecting, as I've been told that I have to be the serious commentator, interjecting the serious note. You know, if you make conditions better for them back in places like Libya and Sierra Leone, they would be less likely to want to leave. But the fact is, their homes are being destroyed. Mm-hmm. They're being shot. They're being murdered. Their children are being raped.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I'd want to leave too if I was in those circumstances.
Yeah.
You can't really blame them for wanting to leave. And they're going to go to the places where they think they're going to be most welcome and have the best opportunities. It's human nature. So why not just make it better for them back home?
Exactly.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult for Britain and Europe to actually do that, isn't it? And
not girt by sea, because you know, like we are, you know, with stop the boats business.
Absolutely. So we reckon the solution is to make it better for them at home, than they wouldn't come there. There's your answer, Mrs. Whatever your name is.
That's the long-term solution.
That's the long-term solution. We'll be back in a couple of seconds after we take a very important commercial break. Otherwise, everybody will get upset with me. We'll be back with Lee, Rachel, and Tom the Bunny Man in a couple of minutes' time. You've got time to drink that milkshake, have a cup of tea. Oh, well, you could even go there as well if you really wanted to, but only if you wash your hands when you come back. Don't be naughty.